with this program this week, we have heroes and we have villains. Now, villains you would normally do in the minor mode, heroes in the major mode with great brass. But with each of these pieces that I sense a different coloration, can I get into your head a little bit as to what makes a good villain in your mind musically and a good hero?
Well, I think what has helped me has been the film Villains and Heroes that I've had to accompany. Mm-hmm. Writing for Jack Nicholson as a villain is a different kind of a challenge than writing for Darth Vader, for example, as a mm-hmm. villain. Or for Dracula, for that matter, as a villain.
Or a shark.
Or a shark. Or other animals that, you know, dinosaurs and the rest. Right. So I think that as I look at the films and try to accomplish music that will really fit the texture and character of each one of these creatures or characters, I'm led to whatever decisions I make, right or wrong, good or bad. But it's an interesting question, an interesting discussion, because they have very, very different characters. We can be very frightened by Dracula, but he's alluring also in a way that the shark never is. But the shark is unstoppable in the way that we can put Dracula in a cage, but there's no cage that will
hold a shark.
It will contain the shark.
Right.
I like the question very much. I'm not sure the answer is of the quality of the question, but it's fascinating because there are huge differences, perhaps also in the heroes.
Could it perhaps that be that you identify mentally with the mindset of this or that particular hero rather than just pigeonholing them?
I think that's right, and their dialogue and what they are doing in the scene and doing for us and against us and in the text of the story, in these cases the film, they each have a psychology. And that's part of what we want to try to capture if we're trying to do that in these scenes in the movies. And it's a fascinating part of that whole craft, and one that's great fun.
Mm-hmm. Great. You've just written a noble concerto. What's left? And I mean, I think you've done all the instruments, haven't you? Viola, perhaps? I think you've done them all.
Well, I've missed a few. I haven't written a trombone concerto, interestingly enough.
Oh, there you go.
We have a soloist with Doug Yeo built right in with it.
There you go.
But I've covered a lot of them and have really enjoyed doing it very much. I mean, I write them more with the people in mind and for the joy for me of doing this. This week we have an oboe concerto here in Boston. Oh, and the other, I should say also, it's been a treat for me to be able to write for members of the Boston Pops Orchestra and have mm-hmm. them come forward and perform for our audiences here. And I've always loved that aspect of Pops, that it gives us the opportunity to learn to know the players and to hear them as soloists. Keisuke Wakao, who's been our principal oboist for many years, I mean, I think for me, most of my tenure for those years, and I always enjoyed every rehearsal and every performance with him. He's always giving 105%. He's his enthusiasm and love of what he's doing is so contagious and unfailingly positive and optimistic, and there's no condescension in anything that he does, from the silliest piece to the most serious piece. It gets his best effort, whatever it is. And I thought, what fun, without telling him, excuse me, I spent the time to the weeks to put this together, this piece, and sent it to him. And he's been very, very also typical of his character, very enthusiastic and excited to do it. And I'm thrilled with. We've just had our first rehearsal, just moments before we were speaking here, and it was as much fun and joy for me to hear him do it as it was to write the piece.
I must say, you really have conquered, I think, the inner conflict of rhythmic and linearity. In other words, one could just wallow in the great sounds of the strings and the oboe, but there's a rhythmic sense, and yet it never interrupts that linearity. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, it would be a wonderful thing to achieve, and to whatever extent I can achieve that or have done, I'd be very happy to do so. again, the performers here, all of our great orchestras, and especially our own here in Boston, are of such a quality that I think they intellectually carry the line, the metric line, or the horizontal line, mm-hmm. if you like, while maintaining the sort of vertical discipline that we need to have for arrival points and togetherness and ensemble in that respect, but without losing the whole horizontal thread of getting A to R to S to Z to wherever we're going, and that arrival point and the inevitability of that destination metrically is what something we hope maybe we can feel, perhaps. It's an elusive thing, too, ineffable. It's very difficult to put one's finger quite right on it, but with great expert players, you have a sense of that security of getting from A to the arrival point with a sense of purpose and creating a sense of inevitability when you arrive there.
It's an utter triumph you've done with this piece in that challenge of doing those things.
Thank you. Thank you.
My gosh, I realize you're going to be 80 next year?
Yes, yes.
You probably have a workload that would daunt somebody half their age. It reminds me of what Fiedler once said, is he who rests rots.
Yes.
But what are your secrets? Are you pacing yourself more, or what's going on?
Well, I don't think I have any secrets. I think everyone that approaches 80 will say the same thing we all do. How did that ever happen? How did we ever possibly get there so quickly? As we watch our children grow and our grandchildren, we turn around, they're already in school and then they're in college and whatever. That says something about, doesn't it? It just alludes to the difficulty of understanding time that we have in our lives. We look back and it all seems such a quick experience, a wink. But working, the work part of it, I have to say that I'm as animated by music itself as ever before. Perhaps I don't have as much energy to write for 8 hours, I may write, or 10, write for 6 or 4. But the impulse to do it is strong, it's habitual, it's rewarding, and it's what I've done for my entire life since, you know, teen years even. And finally, I guess one needs to say that the best thing that any of us can have at whatever age in life we are is health. If we have good health, we can enjoy that, we can enjoy life and contribute in whatever way we can, large or small. And finally, to say that I think also that we, as we get older, the days become more valuable, and the rehearsals mean more, and the concerts mean more, and our conversations mean more. And so I'm enormously fortunate in my life, and have been for a long time. And the greatest good fortune, apart from my family, has to be my connection to music, which is something we never tire of. On the contrary, we become more and more engrossed in it as we age and experience in the practice of it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.